difficult sometimes in this life, this journey maybe of this past week, to find the words to say, to find the time to just, in your own personal time with the Lord, just to stop and give Him the glory and the praise. Think about Calvary. Think about what He did for you and I on that day 2,000 years ago. That day that would change you and I forever and ever. That day that He paved a way for us. You have a difficult time praising the Lord on occasion? Stop. And may He bring to your mind Calvary. Join with me as we sing.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree.
We'll sing your praise.
you the praise this morning. We thank you for that hill called Mount Calvary that you prepared, whether it's through the flood, however that hill developed, you prepared for your son to go to give us life. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the struggles that some of us might be going through this day. And those struggles are for a purpose. Those trials, those tribulations, those afflictions that we heard about and studied about this morning in Sunday school, they're for a purpose, Lord, to draw us to yourself. We can't do life without you. But we can do all things through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who gives us strength. This is your day. Take our praise, Lord, as we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated, church. I like some of these songs. We have the band drop out. I can hear you guys singing. If you ever have a concern about singing and someone might hear you, sing so the Lord hears you. He knows your heart. He says, sing to us, to me a new song. Stan preached on that. Was it last week? I guess it was. What a privilege he's given to us. Just this wonderful gift of music that we can offer our praises to the Lord through song. I like to hear you sing. I'm so glad you're here. Guest, if you're here for the first time and you haven't filled out the Connect card, please do so and take it to the welcome center back there in the back, and we have a special gift for you. Thank you for being here and worshiping with us. We trust that you just feel at home here at Faith Princeton and just worship alongside of us with all that you have. Right after the service this morning, we have an informative meeting for Costa Rica. Many of you have heard about Costa Rica for several years. Many of you have prayed alongside of us about this mission in Costa Rica, and we appreciate that so much. Many of you have given, even though you're not able to go, many of you have given so others can go, and we just praise the Lord for all of you who have partnered together with us in prayer and finances. We have a meeting right over here, right after service. If you are interested at all in learning a little bit more about the Costa Rica mission trip in July, I invite you to stay. We have a gift bag for you, several different things in there we want to share with you. We'll keep you maybe 15 minutes, so I encourage you to come and stay. And if you're not able to go, but you just want to hear more what God's doing down there, please stay around with us and enjoy that short time together. This afternoon, also at 2 o'clock over at the Princeton Medical Lodge, there's a group gathering over there to be a blessing to the senior adults there. If you're interested in singing and just loving on senior adults, join them over there at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Next Sunday, for all of our guests who would like to learn more information about Faith Baptist Church, what we believe the Bible teaches about the ministries here as well, we encourage you to sign up. There's a sheet back there in the back. Please sign up so we'll know that you're coming. If you haven't been able to sign up there on that sheet, call the office. We want to make sure we have plenty of food prepared, and we look forward to spending that time with you next Sunday afternoon. Also, our kids club, we made this announcement last week. Thank you, parents, for bringing your kids to church. I encourage you to continue doing so every opportunity you have. Family time at home is so important, and I will say family time is so important. Don't get so busy that all you're doing every night of the week is going, going, going. So spend family time at home. But if you have the opportunity to bring your children here on Tuesday evening, we had 17 children here last week. The week before we had 5, and the week before we had 9. So thank you for bringing your kids to church. Kids Club's a wonderful ministry that we have some wonderful volunteers going to love on your children and teach them about Jesus as well. So I encourage you to bring all of your children. That's from 3 years old all the way up to 5th grade. So Logan, you're not available for that age group there, sir. We do have youth next door for you as well. Yeah. Aren't you glad to be in church? Yeah. Me too. Me too. Why don't you just stand for a moment, reach around to those around you, and just love on those. Introduce yourself. You know what? We have Name Tag November and every November to help us with names. We're going to do I Forgot Your Name February. So reach around to those around you, and just if you don't know their name, get the name. Would you do that? God bless you. share with you this morning, be reading out of the New American Standard Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Let me say that again. Let God's word say it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creature. Amen. Amen. The old things are passed away. Amen. Behold, new things have come. Amen. What a wonderful verse. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Amen? And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what he did for you through Christ Jesus our Lord.
You know, we've started this All Things New sermon series, and I tell you, some of the passages in the Bible about newness have always been some of my favorites, and today we're going to hit on one of my favorites. It's the truths that we have in God's Word about newness, and it's all throughout God's Word. But before we do that, today is also another special Sunday in the life of the church, in the life of our community, and in the life of our nation. Every year, this Sunday, the third Sunday of January, right around this time, is set apart as Sanctity of Life Sunday. And today is that Sanctity of Life Sunday. And it's a time where we as believers came together to say our nation is in a vast web of moral sin. The just the idea of unborn children being sacrificed. And I understand that a lot of times they'll talk about, well, what if the life of the mother is in danger, or what if there was rape and incest and those kind of things that caused it? You know, that's less than 4% of the abortions performed in America every year. Less than 4% are those extreme cases. All the rest of the cases are, I'm not ready to have a child, or it'll cause hardship to me, or it's all lifestyle choices. And I read an article this week from Dr. Jim Dennison about what the Bible teaches about abortion. And again, abortion is not specifically spelled out in the Bible as abortion is sin, but it didn't have to be. The Jewish culture that it was written to and the Christian culture that it was written to would have already had that in their hearts and in their DNA. Now, when it started spreading into the Roman culture, there are very early Christian documents like the Didache, which is one of the first discipleship manuals of the church written in the first or second century AD that was used by the church. And it spells it out for those coming from a pagan culture. Abortion is sin. Abortion is wrong. And I just wanted to, just a couple of quotes from that article. See, it comes down to, when does life begin? Does the unborn child have a right, an inalienable right to life? Or is it part of the woman's body? And science has really proven, although because people don't want to give in to their freedoms, they'd rather have their freedoms than truth. It's not spoken of in our culture setting. But here's one of the things. It's a scientific fact that every abortion performed in the United States is performed on a being so fully formed that its heart is beating and its brain activity can be measured on an EEG machine. At 12 weeks, the unborn baby is only about 2 inches long, yet every organ of the human body is clearly in place. Theologian Karl Barth described the fetus, said the embryo has its own autonomy, its own brain, its own nervous system, its own blood circulation. If its life is affected by that of the mother, it also affects hers. It can have its own illnesses in which the mother has no part. Conversely, it may be quite healthy even though the mother is seriously ill. It may die while the mother continues to live, but it may also continue to live after its mother's death and be eventually saved by a timely operation on her dead body. In short, it's a human being in its own right. Mother Teresa advocated to the Supreme Court, please don't ignore your responsibility of recognizing that this is a life that needs protecting. And she has been widely quoted as saying, it's a poverty to decide that a child must die so you may live as you wish. I want you to know, abortion is not the unpardonable sin. And we have members of our congregation who have fallen to that, and they are the most outspoken advocates of, please, tell people abortion is not an answer. It just adds more hardships and long-lasting hardships. And so today, as we come together, we need to pray that our nation will understand the sanctity of life. And it was Christians and their prayers and their trying to make the truth be known that has caused our Supreme Court to recently say, hey, we're going to strike down Roe versus Wade, that every woman has the right to an abortion. And we're going to send it back to the states, but some states, like the state of Texas, has said, we're going to make it more strict here because we believe those are lives that need protecting. Amen. Other states have doubled down to say, no, we're going to stand to say the choice of the mother is more important than that beating heart within her womb. We're not here for political reasons. This is not political. This is spiritual truth of what we as a people of God are going to stand for. And we do invite those who are thinking about becoming members of our church or are interested to know what we believe, to come to our lunch, that Exploring Faith lunch next week, because we will talk about this. One of the things we as a church said is there are certain things that we need to speak to our culture about and let people know what God's word says about these issues. And so we passed as part of our statement of faith, this, we start with, we're going to believe the Bible. But we passed in our statement of faith that we cherish life from its conception to its physical end. And we are responsible as believers to protect the sanctity of life. All life, not just unborn babies too. We also need to protect the lives of those who are living lives that are not reflecting the goodness and glory of God. We have a burden by God to represent that God cares for people, no matter how small. And so I'd like you to join in praying with me today that God will open the eyes of people, and especially pregnant mothers. That's why we support the Hope Women's Center, and there's something back here on the table about their ministry, and I got another newsletter from them this week talking about that of all of the couples that come in contemplating abortion, and they get a chance to share with them, 74% of them, once they see a sonogram of that life, once they hear that heartbeat, 74% of them say, no, we're either giving it to adoption or we're going to raise this child ourselves. And we praise God for that. And at the same time, there's 26% that say, no, we're going to go through with it. Let's pray that 26% will be wiped out. And that people will understand life is a gift and it's not ours to take away. We can have more discussions about, well, why do you believe capital punishment is okay? We can also talk about consequences of sin. But an unborn child is not debatable in that context. We pray today, and Father, we come to you and pray that our nation and our people, a nation is not anything, it's a people, will have the blinders dropped off that Satan so tries to pull over people's heads, because all it does is confuse people and make them angry at each other instead of cherishing life. That miracle of God. Lord, we pray that we will be a people who know how to speak truth, but speak it in love. Who will know how to think and pray about putting people in offices or even raising up to be in offices so that your will may be known and your truths and your wisdom may be shown. Lord, I pray for all those who have had abortions or who have been a part of helping others to have abortions, that even today, if there's any in this congregation that feels that incredible weight of guilt, thank you that you're Jesus Messiah who washes away sin. And today they can leave that on the altar and say, forgive me, Father, I did not know what I was doing. And today receive that forgiveness. Lord, I pray that we will be a people united in seeking your truths in all things. And our lives will be lives of holiness and sanctity. Help us not just to value the life of the unborn, but help us to recognize that we're called to live lives that are sanctified, dedicated to you. May we be your people, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for letting me share that with you. There are things that sometimes we just don't have enough time to address all of them. If you ever have any question about what you believe the Bible teaches about certain political or social issues, man, we're always ready and willing to talk about those things. I'll let you know, we're going to stand on God's word and the principles of God's word, the truths of God's word, because he knows what he's talking about. And people will try and say, and again, they're deceived by Satan when they're saying it, but they'll try and say, well, that's just an old book that's written thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago, and it's written by men. No, the Bible itself proclaims that those men were divinely inspired men carried about by the Holy Spirit to write what God wanted us to know. And he still speaks through it. It's still living and active, speaks to every issue in your life. The question is it in you? And are you in him? We're going to talk about being a new creation. And again, one of the greatest truths of God's word. And the whole thing hinges on in Christ. You'll even see I have that in purple. By the way, I don't know about y'all. When you're marking your Bibles or taking notes or anything, do you color code at all? I know there's one Bible out called the Rainbow Bible, and it's color-coded, and different truths are color-coded in different ways. But you may notice sometimes, if I ever color-code the scripture, you'll notice almost every time when I'm talking about God or Christ or the Holy Spirit, it's going to be in purple, because that's the color of royalty. That's the color of sovereignty. Just to let us know again, even as you see that color purple, I hope that you recognize God is supreme. God is almighty. God is king. God is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. And that when you're reading God's word and you're reading about Christ and about God, it's about he's sovereign. And you can follow along with him and be in the blessing of God, or you can seek to choose your own path. It's always going to be a dead end. And you're the one that's going to pay for it. Not because God hates you when you go an opposite way. It's because there's no opposite way. The opposite way always leads to death. There's no life at the end of the opposite way. And the key in this passage is in Christ. Are you in Christ? And I've always heard the illustration of being in Christ doesn't mean just that you know Jesus' name, you know what Jesus did, he died on the cross, rose from the grave and everything, and you believe that all that is true. That's not being in Christ. You know, that's knowing about Christ. Satan knows about Christ. He knows, in fact, Satan knows beyond a shadow of doubt all those things are true. But he's not in Christ. And I've always heard the illustration, and it's the one that still the picture of a fish has to be in water to be alive. The same way a Christian has to be in Christ to be alive. We have to be totally immersed in him. We have to, and that whole idea is a fish can't be half in and half out of the water, no matter what the evolutionists want to say. You know, that you know, it's a fish has to be in the water for it to breathe the way it's designed to breathe, just like we have to be out of the water to be able to breathe if we want to breathe. And so that idea of being in Christ is we exchange our old way of life for totally, you've heard the phrase, I'm all in, I'm completely in. Another one I thought of, Charles is in football mode right now, even this morning with our worship team, he's saying, you know, it's kind of cool when everybody's coming to church. It's kind of like, you know, we're a team. We're the body of Christ. We're together. It's like, you know, you're getting to see everybody gather for the team coming together. And I like that. I like that picture. And, you know, and it's that idea of being in Christ is that picture of being in uniform. You're suited out. You know, you're ready, and everything about you is going to show Christ because you're all in. And so as we read this passage together, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21, I want you to be thinking about that. Another illustration, marriage. You know, in the Bible, God talks about marriage as a representation of Christ in his church, or Christ in you. That idea where the two shall become one flesh. You can't do that physically. Being in Christ is nothing you have ever done physically. It's everything he has done spiritually. And so just like being married, the Bible says we're supposed to, a man and a wife come together and the two become one flesh. You cannot do that. Only God can do that in you. But that's what he desires to do with a married couple, but that's also what he desires to do with you in Christ. So let's stand together as we read his word. Starting in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Again, we read that earlier. We sang that earlier. Do we believe that now and forever? You can be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I told you last week this was one of the first memory verses I learned when I became an adult. And as much as a 19-year-old young man can be an adult. You know, I was in college, you know, I was a freshman in college and we were doing some discipleship stuff. And by the way, if you've never been discipled, you know, the Bible talks about that we're supposed to take the things that we've learned and put them into others. You know, the Great Commission is go and make disciples. And a disciple is a follower of Christ, but that making of disciples is not just getting somebody to pray a prayer of salvation. A disciple of Christ is someone who's learning and growing and following and seeking Jesus in all of their lives. They're in Christ. And so if you've never been discipled, you know, and you would like to be, please let us know. Man, we'll match you up with somebody. If you've never discipled somebody and would like to disciple somebody, you're a mature believer and say, yeah, I'd love to disciple somebody. Let us know. Because the church is not here for your Christianity. That sounds weird, doesn't it? The church is not a... And I'm trying to figure out how to explain this in an adequate way. See, the church is supposed to be Christians coming together to be equipped so you can live out your Christianity. It's part of it, you know, but this is, a lot of people think that church is their whole Christian duty. A lot of people think that coming to church on Sunday, that's what makes me right with God. That's not what makes you right with God. You come to church on Sunday so that you can grow up in your faith and we can come together and glorify him together and worship him and please him and be equipped and everything else to live out our faith every day. Your Christianity is if you're in Christ, you're in Christ all the time. It's not... Man, I turn it on Sunday morning and then I go out and live my life. Your life is Christ if you're a Christian. And if your life is not about Christ all the time, you are probably not a Christian. I know that's a bold statement. It could be a shocking statement. But if all Christianity is to you is sitting and enduring a sermon and singing songs about the Savior and talking about him, if that's all Christianity is to you, you're not in Christ. You cannot be in Christ and not care about him Monday through Saturday. And so many people just go through that, the motions of, I don't know. And by the way, I don't think anybody's here as a hypocrite today either. Even if what I was describing, if it's piercing your heart right now, even now, I don't think you're here because you're just trying to play Christian. I think everyone is here because you truly desire to know God. And you truly know that the only way to know God is through Christ Jesus. But it's not a head knowledge that gets you anywhere with God. And we're going to see that in this passage and in a couple of other passages. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that's a spiritual thing. You notice that right before that, he said, you know, we used to know Jesus in the flesh. And the early part of chapter 5, he's talking about someday we're going to die. When we're absent from this body, guess what? We're going to a greater place. We're gonna have a body not built by human hands. We're gonna have an eternal dwelling. And he's rejoicing about that. He said, but remember, we're all gonna have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for what we do in this flesh. But he said, it's not about the flesh. He said, we knew Christ in the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and so he's saying, not you're not in Christ because you go to church. You're not in Christ because you live a different life than other people around you and you live by different rules and regulations. You're not a Christian because of those things. He says, if anyone is in Christ. Now, when you're in Christ, then you'll start living in his kingdom ways. You may look exactly like those who are playing at church, are seeking to get where they need to be. But the key is to be in Christ, that your whole life is about Christ. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, see, this is the thing. You've got to become a new creation. He is a new... By the word, that word for new, and it's going to come up again about new things have come, is a word for brand new. In fact, there's a Latin, I don't know much Latin, you know, but creation ex nihilo. Besides that, the only other Latin is Gloria in excelsis Deo, you know, because I sing that every Christmas. But ex nihilo is the creation that's described in Genesis 1 when God said, let there be light, and it had never existed before. When God said, let this world come out of chaos, and it had never existed before. Only God can create out of nothing. It's always that thing about the scientists, you know, they say, well, we can create life in a test tube. And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, we take this embryo and this and that thing. Okay. Wait, those are things God created. Do it without it. Create life out of nothing. And the idea here is if anyone is in Christ, he became something brand new. Jesus called it being born again. What Paul refers to is, look, you became something brand new. If you never became something brand new, a new creation of God, go back and look and say, am I in Christ? I'm not here to make anybody doubt their salvation, but I am here to assure you that you're not saved unless Jesus has changed you into a new creation. That whole idea of a new creature is how the New American Standard, it's that creation out of nothing. Have you come about since you met Christ? So many of us live in the old, in the past, in the way of doing things. And he said, no, if you're in Christ, it's brand new. And then he goes on to double down on it. He said, the old things have passed away. I tell you, studying for this sermon, I learned something new. I always thought, okay, old things, that means my old way of life. You know, like, and what I thought of is my old sins and all those things. Passed away. What do we think of as passed away? Dead, right? And that's not what those words are at all. The word for old there is the word we get our word archaic from. The Greek word that we get our word archaic from, and it means an ancient origin, the beginnings of things. It's things in the past. The pass away there has nothing to do with death. It has everything to do with becoming obsolete. How many of you have a landline anymore? Isn't that weird? I mean, we could not have a house or a business without a landline. And now, what's the matter with you people? Why'd you get rid of your landlines? You know, it's because that technology is becoming obsolete. Guess what I got the other day? Becky and James were cleaning out one of the cabinets at church. Found a whole bunch of cassette tapes. And there was one that was kind of interesting to me. Some of them were the old services of the church, and some of them were old Sunday school lessons and different things that were recorded on cassette for our homebounds. And we would take them cassette tapes. And so I found one that I want to listen to. And so I saved that one. It's on my desk. And then I started thinking, do I even have a cassette player anymore? By the way, young people, cassettes were these little plastic things that had a little tape running through it and everything else. And so now I've got to figure out, do I still have a cassette player? Because they went to CDs. CDs, young people, are these little round discs that were read by a laser, because now it's what? Online, USB sticks, you know, different. You know, nowadays it's all on your phone already and obsolete. Right? None of us use coal oil lamps until the grid falls, right? But there are things that have become obsolete. Boy, I want to make sure I say this very carefully because I don't want to misrepresent God's word. The old covenant is obsolete. Genesis through Malachi is obsolete. Now, let me hear you. Please hear me correctly. It's still valuable. It's still the word of God, and it still endures forever. But the covenant in the Old Testament is obsolete. And that's what he's saying. You remember the Galatians, he said, who's bewitched you? Jesus Christ set you free, and now you're going back to try and live all the Old Testament covenant laws and all those kind of things, trying to get to God on your own merits and on your own righteousness. He said, why? Why are you doing that? It could never be done except for by Jesus Christ himself. And he said, what you need to do is get back into Christ and quit trying to make it on your own. And so old religion is obsolete. And that's what it means by pass away. It means the old things, the old ways we used to try and get right with God. When Jesus came, he said, none of those work. That's why I'm here. In fact, if you look at what he says in verse 19, we were talking about us being in Christ. In verse 19, it talks about God being in Christ. He said, in fact, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he's committed to us this word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know what Genesis through Malachi teaches us? You cannot get saved in the flesh. It teaches you, you cannot be good enough to stand in the presence of God. It teaches us that there needs to be a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice shed so that God can reconcile us to himself. We cannot reconcile ourselves to God. And all the old religions of all mankind, and that includes the old covenant, have passed away in the presence of Christ. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? I hope that's clear. It's not that it wasn't valuable. It's not that it wasn't the Word of God. It's not that it isn't still the Word of God. It's not the way to God. It points to Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to God. Because only Jesus had God embodied in a man to be the sacrifice for sin. Only Jesus could take your sins and somehow transfer them back over 2,000 years to be hanging on a cross in the body of Christ Jesus. As he shed his blood, your sins are dropping away. That's why we have to be a new creation. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. That's why none of the old religions work. Yeah, Old Testament covenant was all about keep doing the sacrifices, keep paying your tithes and offerings, keep doing the things so that God will put his favor on you and his mercy and grace can cover you for a little while. But there was coming a point where it had to be done for all the time, and that's only in Jesus. But I'm not just talking about the old covenant here either. I don't think Paul is either. Because some of the people in the Corinthian church were never Jewish in the first place. See, there's an older religion, older than Judaism. It's all the way from the garden. You can be your own God. The oldest religion to man is Satan telling Eve and Adam, listen, you don't have to listen to God. You don't have to believe God's word. God's just afraid you're going to be like him and know right from wrong for yourself, and you won't need him anymore. That's the oldest religion in the book. And that religion still exists today. People saying, I don't want to follow after Jesus because I want to call my own shots. When Jesus came, he showed that's passed away too. That's obsolete. The idea that you can get to God in any other way, there's no other way. Another old religion is the religion that says every religion's okay. We just need to hold hands with everybody and say, you know, all roads lead to God. Have you ever heard that? All roads lead to heaven. Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. But what Jesus says and what God says while he was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, he's saying there is no other way. I'm going to get to that verse in just a minute. There it is. Galatians 2. Another of the verses that I learned in that Navigator's memory verse thing, the discipleship. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And he says, and I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. And you can fill the blank in there. If righteousness can come through any other means, why would Jesus die for us? There is no other way. And we preach and teach that unashamedly. Muhammad did not die for your sins, nor was God in Muhammad reconciling the world to himself by the sacrifice of Muhammad's blood. The Buddha did not die for your sins. And guess what? When you look in the mirror, you can die in your sins, but you can't die for your sins. And you can't die for the rest of our sins. Only Jesus could do that. Look at what he says in Romans 6. And this is when he's talking about water baptism being a symbol of Jesus' resurrection. He said, that water baptism that you went through is a symbol of what God did in you when Jesus saved you, when you became in Christ. He says, what shall we say? Should we continue in sin so grace may increase? May it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. And you'll hear me say this a lot. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Again, that same newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who died is freed from sin. He said, what we need to die from, we need to realize old stuff, the old religion, old things can't get us anywhere. We need newness of life only Christ can give us. So let your old self be crucified. Just let it die. I've been crucified with Christ. And then Galatians 6. May it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, by the way, that word for rule there is the word we get our word canon, like the canon of the Bible, the whole truth of God. Those who will walk by these truths, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel of God, the people of God. If you want peace and mercy, you got to come to walk in the newness of life in Christ. And finally, Ephesians 4. He was telling them, man, don't go back to thinking you have to be religious in order to walk in Christ. No, when you're walking in Christ, you just live your life the way that Christ directs you. Part of that is uniting with the church. Part of that is being his witnesses in the world. Part of that is loving one another and loving those, having a sanctity of life. But he said, you didn't learn Christ that you had to keep rules. You learned about freedom. He said, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Christ Jesus, that in reference to your former way of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. I thought about coming to church in my pajamas today. I'm still wearing my Christmas pajamas that has Bumbles the Abominable Snowman on him, you know, and everything. But I didn't do that. Because in the morning when it's time to go to work or to church or anything, you take off the things you slept in so that you can put on the things that honor God in the daylight. And in this passage, it says, in reference to your older self, lay aside all those things that didn't belong to Jesus. And it's interesting about the tense of the verbs in this two or three verses. Lay aside is in the aorist tense or the past tense. He said, get this done. Make a commitment that you're going to lay aside those things that don't belong to God, those things that don't belong to Christ. Lay them aside. Because they're constantly, and this in the present tense, being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit. Anything you build your life upon in this world versus the things you build your life upon in the next world, in the eternal habitation of God, in the ways of God, those are eternal. These things, he said, these are being corrupted every day. So lay them aside. Just make that your commitment. And then he says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's a daily thing. That's in the present tense. Keep letting God renew your mind. That's why you come to church. That's why you listen to sermons and sit in Bible studies and study God's word together. And that's why you have your daily quiet time, because every day you need to let God say, no, that's an old thought. Get rid of it. Renew it. Here's what my word says. You know, when you see something like that and you're reading God's word and it says this and you've always believed this, get rid of that and say, okay, God, let me put this in its place. Let me renew my mind with your thoughts in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. That's in the aorist tense, the past tense. Decide to get rid of the stuff of old, put on the new. That's a decision you need to make today. And then let God renew you every day. Because if you're not letting Christ renew you every day, you're being corrupted every day. Have you noticed that about our world? We're real good at corrupting things. But we've been created in the likeness of God, created in righteousness and holiness of truth. He made him who knew no sin become sin for us that we might become righteousness of God. That's what God sees you as if you're in Christ. So I put my blank slide in there again. You know, last week we talked about how is God calling you to have new songs? How is God going to do new things in your life this year? This week that blank slide is there to say first, it asks a question. Are you in Christ? Do you know that you know that you know that you're in Christ, that you're all in, that he is the only way? Do you believe it? Or have you adopted the world's standards to say, no, that's bigoted, that's prejudice. You know, for you to say somebody else's religion is not as valid as yours, is everybody's religion is just as valid. The only problem is it's all passed away when Jesus came. All the religions in all the world in all of time can't get you to heaven because they can't do anything with the sin problem that you have. But being in Christ, God reconciled you to himself. Today, if you don't know for sure that you're in Christ, I hope you'll come take somebody by the hand and say, I want to pray. I want to seek to know that I know Jesus Christ and that he is the one that I'm letting build this life. Not that I'm building this life, but he's building the life. And I will follow him all the days of my life. I'll be renewed by his word every day. If you know that you know that you know that you are in Christ, die to self, die to the world. Make a commitment to do that. But then every day let God continue to renew that commitment in you. Let him continue to renew your mind of knowing that today I'm walking Christ. I'm walking in Christ. I'm walking for Christ. I'm walking about Christ. It didn't really catch on, the have a good new. That never went viral. So I'm trying a new one. Live the new. Live the new. You have been made new in Christ. If you are in Christ, live the new every day. Let the newness of Christ be something that still makes you in love with him every day. Let him direct you. Quit dwelling on old failures. Quit dwelling on old feelings. Quit dwelling on old faiths. All of that is part of the flesh. Instead, walk in newness of Christ. What if you wake up tomorrow and you don't feel new? Here's the thing about feelings. You can trust your feelings, you can walk in your feelings and everything else. But most of the time, they'll lie about faith. See, God never asks you whether you feel like a Christian. He asks you whether you trust Him to change you. Do you trust Him to give you joy and newness of life? Because everybody that walks by this rule, grace and mercy be yours in Christ Jesus and the whole Israel of God, the whole people of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that we will be people who walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by flesh. That we will live in Christ. There are so many things that try to rear their ugly head, the old ways and patterns of thinking that I've got to get right with you when I need to realize you've made me right with you. I just need to live it. I need to let you live it in me. Lord, help us to realize that we are new, a different kind of creation. Help us let that show as we go about our lives, in the way we speak, in the way we live, in the way we treat others. Lord, help everything that happens to us show Christ, because we are in Him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right before we sing, y'all say that verse with me. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And again, I learned it. You're a new creation instead of a new creature. You can be a new creature if you want to. I'm going to be a new creation and live the new. Let's stand together as we sing again that commitment song. I'll be down front if somebody needs to pray with me. If you don't know whether Christ is Lord of your life and whether you have that eternal life only He can offer, we pray you get that right with Him today before you leave this place.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my host, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My rock defense, my rock. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Your sin runs deep, your grace is more, your grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Is Christ in me? Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My rock defense, my righteousness, oh God. Oh God, how I need you. All God's people said, amen. It's been great to be in the house of the Lord under the teaching and preaching of His word. So glad that you've come today. Love on those around you as you leave. We do have the meeting right now. If you're interested in learning just a little bit more about Costa Rica, I'll see you down front. God bless you. Have a great, great Lord's Day.